This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد. So we are in the on our class on risk, looking at the issue of risk and whether it is obtained or ordained. Let us be very clear in our mind then. Understand that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something, there is always khair in it. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, always make dua and make dua for khair. Don't say, oh Allah, give me a wife. Say, oh Allah, give me a wife with khair. Don't say, oh Allah, give me a husband. Say, oh Allah, give me a husband with khair. Because your life can become a living hell in this world if you get the wrong kind of woman or man. Don't ask for wealth. Oh Allah, give me wealth. No. Oh Allah, give me wealth with khair. I remember in school, Allah Alam, I don't know who, at those days, at least people used to, I don't know what they teach today. But we had a story, when I was in, I still remember the story in school. We had a story about this, and it was a story in the West somewhere. It was a story about this couple who had one son. And they were poor. And they used to always keep saying, oh, we wish we had more money, we wish we had more money, whatnot. And one night, they get a knock on the door, and when they open the door, there is the manager of the factory in which their son used to work. And the manager came to tell them that, I'm very sorry to inform you that they had this terrible accident and your son has died. And as compensation, here is this large amount of money that is being given to you. Now you wanted money, you got money. You know what I'm saying? So always ask for khair. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair. Don't just ask for things, ask for khair. Including the ilm of deen. Including the ilm of deen. Oh Allah, don't say, oh Allah, make me a mufti. Oh Allah, make me hafiz Quran. You can become a hafiz Quran and then you can forget your Quran. And then you are in trouble. You can be a mufti and then you can become a mufti who is compliant to all of mankind and then you will be among those who will be sent to the hellfire first before everybody else. Because the number one people who will be thrown into the hellfire are those ulama who sold their deen and who practiced their deen for name and fame and who sold their knowledge to the people of the world and tried to be compliant and tried to, because they were either afraid or they were for greed. They gave fatawa and they permitted what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited and they prohibited what Allah had permitted. And they will be among the first to be thrown into the hellfire. So you asked for the ilm of deen, but you didn't ask for it for khair, so the ilm of deen itself turned against you. Always ask for khair. Anything you want in this world, ask for khair. Oh Allah, give me khair. Oh Allah, give me great health. Make me very strong. Now, once you become very strong and you have a great, fancy body and whatnot, it can lead you into all sorts of trouble. All sorts of trouble. Oh Allah, give me beautiful children. Alhamdulillah, you got this amazingly beautiful daughter or amazingly beautiful son, and the result of that is so much fitna that you will start wish he was a bit ugly. Seriously, I'm telling you, these are actual life issues. These are actual life issues. So always ask for khair. Alhamdulillah. And then be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And that brings us to the point number 4 of Rida bil Qada. Once again, a hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and I mentioned to you his fazilat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, he said, oh Ibn Mas'ud, you should not worry and have concern regarding any matter, because whatever has been decreed shall come, and whatever has not been decreed shall never come to you. So he said, don't worry. And once again, he will say, then why should I work? We'll come to that, inshallah. But what has been written for you, inshallah, will happen. And what has not been written for you will not happen. So there's no need to worry and no need to go into a decline expecting this or expecting that. I remind myself and you that this is a very debilitating thing. It's a very debilitating thing. It's living, on a day by day, living with fear. living with all sorts of imaginary anxieties. Be prepared. Do, if you are anticipating some danger, by all means prepare for the worst situation, but make rujoo ila Allah, thank Allah, turn towards Allah, ask the protection of Allah. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avert it. We do not know that. That is decreed even. How do you know? We do not know what the decree of Allah is. We are imagining various things. This may happen, that may happen. But when you say something may happen, there's obviously an equal chance it may not happen. Because we don't know. I mean, do we know for sure? We don't know for sure. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah is talking about people who have rida bil qada. Rida bil qada is one of the highest levels of spiritual attainment. It's a level where a slave is completely content and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever situation Allah has put him in. And it's a state of complete and total peace and harmony with one's life. There's no stress, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no depression, nothing. All of these, anxiety, fear, depression, so on, are really signs of weakness of iman. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection for it, for myself and for you. The signs of weakness of people who have strong iman, they don't have all of this. They do the right thing, they don't do the wrong things, and then they don't fear. They are happy with the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So that's why in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, on the day of judgment, Allah will say, this is a day on which the truthful will profit from their truth. And theirs are gardens under which rivers flow. They shall abide therein forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhum. And they shall abide therein forever. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and that is great success. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. In Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, Allah said, whosoever is not happy with my qadr, with my divine decree, and does not observe patience over my afflictions, and does not make sabr over my whatever difficulty I send him, and does not express shukr over my favor, then let him go and take someone else as his Rabb. It is the position of the slave. Yesterday in the Fajr reminder, I spoke about this issue of sajda. What is the sajda? There is a sajda, physical sajda, which we make in salah and otherwise, and there is a sajda of the heart and the mind, the sajda of the qalb, where we are in a, the Muslim is the one who is permanently in a position of sajda before his Rabb. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All praises are to, and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to place us in. So these are things are not easy. They're very easy for me to sit here and narrate, and of course that's my job to tell you, so therefore I'm telling you, but I don't want you to be fooled that I have somehow attained this state. I have not attained this state. I'm very, very far from it. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make me and give this state for me. Because when you make this dua, the angel will make the same dua for you. So make this dua that I must reach a stage of Radha bil Qada, that my heart should be completely free from all fear, from all anxiety, from all depression, from all negativity. Make this dua so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the same thing to you as well, inshallah. And I make the same dua for you for the same reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَكَثِيرٌ هَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابُ وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. In Surah Sajdah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't you see that to Allah, whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountains and the trees and al-dawab, all moving creatures, and many of mankind make sajda. yasjudu lahu. They all make sujood. And there are many on whom the punishment is justified, and they are the ones who refuse to make sujood. And whomsoever Allah disgraces, none can honor him. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wills. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Ma'idah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfu bil uqdood uhillat lakum bahimatul an'ami illa ma yutla alaykum ghayra muhillis saydi wa antum hurum inna allaha yahkumu ma yurid. Allah said, oh you believe, fulfill your obligations. And lawful to you for food are the beasts of cattle except that which have been announced to you therein. And game also being unlawful when you assume ihram for Hajj or Umrah. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that which He wills. So fulfill your obligations. And what is the number one obligation of the Muslim? What is it? Hello? Then? You are awake or you what? The number one obligation is ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is salah. Number one. And then of course we have obligations to parents, we have obligations to children, we have obligations to people, whoever we have promised anything to, and so on and so forth. So fulfill the obligations. All of this leads to barakah in rizq. And then Allah said, فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَوَحْيُهُ وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Then high above all be Allah, the true King, and be not in haste, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Quran before its revelation is completed to you, and say, my Rabb, increase me in knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only thing that he asked his Nabi to make dua for increase is knowledge. Knowledge of Islam, that is. Fiqh of Deen. The position of the slave, as I said, Radha bil Qada, therefore, is the highest position of spiritual development. Rububiyah is the right of Allah to command whatever He pleases and to do whatever He likes. Ubudiyah is the response of the slave to not only accept whatever his Rabb decrees for him, but to be pleased with this. To be pleased with it. And this is a saying from Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayhim ajma'in. This is how they described this. Is what is rububiyat? Rububiyat is the right of Allah to do whatever He likes. And ubudiyat is the response of the slave to not only accept. And why are we saying not only accept? Because you have no choice about accepting. If you get sick, you get sick. What are you going to do? You accept it, you accept it or you don't accept it, you are sick. But not only to accept it, but to be pleased with it and say, Alhamdulillah. Say, Alhamdulillah. My father had to be hospitalized for issue with his spine. And he almost got to a point where he couldn't move, and then they had to do an operation. Of course, all these doctors, they promised. He was also a doctor himself. But these doctors promised magic, and they said, oh, but you know, once the operation is done, you'll be able to walk and run and whatnot. And Qatar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the operation was done, he was still as immobile as before. But irrespective of that, so he was hospitalized in Yashoda, and the doctor came and he said, Dr. Beg, how are you? My father says, Alhamdulillah, I am very well. So the man says, then why are you here? Because he doesn't understand the reason why he's saying, Alhamdulillah, I am very well. He said, why are you here? If you are Alhamdulillah, very well, why are you in this hospital? Huh? And the next day they were taking him for his operation, and I remember they wheeled him into the pre-operative room before they go into the theater. And the surgeon, he called me aside and he showed me this long declaration he wanted me to sign. And he said, please understand that there is a 5% chance of failure. Now what that means is that out of 100 people, 5 people may die on the table. And your father might be one of those 5. So I told him, boss, you do your job. Right? We are not asking you to give any guarantees for health or life. Because the one who has life and who has health, I say, he controls my father's life, my life and your life. So I signed the declaration. And after the operation is over, and they called me to come in and see him, and he was coming out of anesthesia, The doctor tells me, the surgeon tells me, he said, you know, amazing thing we saw about your father. He said his blood pressure never varied. He said usually when people are in preoperative, their blood pressure is racing. Out of anxiety. He said he is the same level. He says his blood pressure never changed. He says, how is it without anxiety? I said, my father is Iman. He is Iman. So no anxiety. Alhamdulillah, Allah kulli hal. If Allah wants cure, alhamdulillah. If Allah wants me to come, alhamdulillah, I'm ready. And the ajeeb thing is, he was 70 plus when they did this operation. And that wound, which was about 18 inches in his back, right along the spine, huge big incision. That wound healed in absolutely record time and completely and totally. The surgeon says he's healed like a baby. He said, no one in this age heals like this. He said, alhamdulillah. Bismillah ta'ala. So very important. If we reach a stage where we are at peace and we are pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, it gives us a beautiful life in this world itself. And of course, what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than this. So what do you do when you have difficulties? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the tool and showed us the way, and that is salah wa sabr. Wasta'inu bis sabri wa salah. Sabr and salah. Wa innaha lakabiratun illa 'alal khashiin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said this, that this is, however, this is heavy and hard except for the people who have khashiyatullah. Wasta'inu bis sabri wa salah. Make sabr and rujoo ila Allah. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make it easy for us to do this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His help for those who make sabr. And He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Just think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are saying here, Allah promised help. But Allah is actually not promising help. Allah is saying, I am with them. Allah did not say, Allah will help them. He said, Allah is with them. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. So how much more valuable is that? The ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about difficulties because it is the nature of the human being, no matter how pious and holy we might think we are, it is our nature that when we are happy, we are generally ghafil. We are generally away somewhere. It's only when things become tough that we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why it is very important to continuously make shukr, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to tighten the screws to turn us towards Him. Right? So always make this dua and be among the, let us be among the shakirin. Tawbah creates barakah. People talk about it, increase in risk. And then they say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith where he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the pen has been lifted, what is to be written has been written, the pen has been lifted, the ink is dry. So what is the meaning of increase in rizq? Increase in rizq is barakah in rizq. The same thing, the whole concept of barakah, unfortunately, is one of those concepts which does not exist in modern financial or economic thinking. To put it in very simplistic terms, in our modern way of thinking, more is more, less is less. Yes? Barakah is less is more. That is barakah. For example, you might say, I must have a lot of money because if I get sick, I have to pay the hospital bills. Barakah is that you don't get sick. So even though you don't have the money, You don't need the money for that reason. Because it is possible that you acquire money, and especially those who acquire money in illegal ways. Especially those who acquire money by oppressing others, by trampling on other people's rights, by deceiving people, by lying and cheating, by promising and not delivering. Let them beware. If you acquire money in those ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you spend that money in the ICUs of hospitals. He will make you spend that money on operating theaters, on operation theaters. He'll make you spend that money on day and night nurses. Allah will extract retribution in this world itself. The money that you acquired in haram ways, you will spend it in hospital bills. You will spend it on court litigations. You will spend it in sleepless nights. You will spend it paying for accidents. Stay away from haram. Stay away from haram. Very dangerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place said, "Fi butunihim illa nar." He said, they are eating and what is in their belly is nothing but fire. People who take the rights of other people. So barakah is to have less, but that less goes a long way. Barakah is to have something which is not so much, but that goes a long way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made you a great alim, but whatever little knowledge you have goes a long way. It is a source of your own deliverance, and that knowledge gets spread all over the world. Maybe you only know one thing, and that one thing you taught to a million people. So now you are getting the benefit of those million people doing that one good thing. Sometimes people complain and they say, how is it that you only speak about salah? There are so many other things. Of course there are so many other things. But imagine if we speak only about salah, and as a result of which, if a million people become particular about their salah, and their salah reaches the level of ihsan, imagine the benefit that one single teaching has done for you. And instead of that, if you taught people, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing, obviously it's not wrong, but I'm saying instead of that, if you were teaching people great books of fiqh and hadith and so on and so forth, and these people were learning all this knowledge without any intention of practicing it, so they know a lot of hadith and they know a lot of fiqh, but you don't see any reflection of that in their lives. They read seerah like history, right? History. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a leader of the Arabs. He was a tribal leader, and he was a very good and great tribal leader. The greatest tribal leader who ever lived. Is this different from saying he was the Rasul of Allah? Is it different from saying that he is the one in whose risala I believe? So people read history and they read seerah like history. No effect. I can read the history of the Mughals, and I can read the history of the Abbasids and the Umayyads, and I can be a world's greatest expert on the history of the British Empire. And if you say, alright, so what of this? So what does it, how does it reflect in your life? They say, how do you want it to reflect? I mean, I'm talking about Henry VIII, and I'm talking about, you know, Edward the this and George the fifth and so on and so on. So Queen Victoria, what do you want me to do? Become fat. She was a substantial woman. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? So knowledge by itself is not necessarily something which has barakah. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what brings barakah? Tawbah brings barakah. Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Nuh alayhi salam said, make tawbah. Ask forgiveness. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا استغفار. Istighfar is to ask forgiveness. Tawbah is to turn towards Allah. Verily, He is oft forgiving. He will send rain to you in abundance and give you increase in wealth and children and bestow on you gardens and bestow on you rivers. And I remind myself and you to remember the conditions of tawbah. And what are the conditions of tawbah? First, to turn away and stop doing what you were doing. Whatever wrong you were doing, never to do it again. Number two, to hate the thought of it itself. Not just never do it again, even to think about it, you hate it. And number three is, if the nature of the thing was such that it impacted somebody else negatively, then to make good that. So for example, if I was not praying salah, then it's between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I make tawbah and I hate the idea of missing salah, and I never miss salah again for the rest of my life, and I ensure that I pray on time properly. But supposing the nature of my of the thing that I was doing wrong, if it was that I was maligning people and I was bad talking people and I was character assassinating people and telling lies and slander about people, now simply going and making tawbah to Allah is not sufficient. You must also go and apologize to that person and say, sorry, this is what I used to do about you, I apologize, please forgive me. And go to the extent possible and go and tell people, other people, this is what I told you about so and so, this was false, I was wrong, that person is not like that. See how difficult that is, huh? That's why the safest thing is to keep your mouth shut. And don't slander people and don't bad talk people and don't do ghibah. Because if you die with that, then believe me, all of your deeds are going into the account of that person, and you are headed for the hellfire. Simple as that. Simple as that. And today, wallahi ajeeb, the technology has become a source of major problem for us, because once upon a time when we didn't have access to email and this and that, you said, if I bad talk somebody, then how many people would I tell? You know, maybe 10, 15, 20, whatever circle that I had. So it was, you know, at least physically possible for me to go and try and make good whatever harm I did. But today, one email circulates in the stratosphere forever. Forever. Now what you going to do about that? I remember once there was someone who made a statement which was against the Aqidah, and so I wrote against that and explained the right Aqidah to that person in a personal mail, a personal letter. And that person got one of his muridin to write a public letter attacking me, and this was put on the net. So I had no idea about this. And somebody sent me that and they said, this is what so and so is saying about you, and you should reply. I said, Alhamdulillah, I will not reply. I said, I'm very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has given me a never-ending source of hasanat. So I said, please tell that person to continue to do good deeds, because they are all coming into my account. And doesn't matter if he doesn't do it also, because all my bad deeds will go into his account. Eh? Think about that. Be very, very careful. Conditions of tawbah. And then, for difficulty and hardship, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this dua to Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And he said, make this dua. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. He said, oh Allah, make sufficient for me through halal means, and make me independent through your bound that which he has given us. So the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he taught Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he said, if you are in debt and if you are in need, make this dua. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. And he said, even if your debt is the size of the mountain of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill it and complete it for you. And then we have the ayat of Surah Talaq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the issue of taqwa and the issue of tawakkul. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever has taqwa, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out of every difficulty for him. يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, and will provide for him from sources that he could never imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who has tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. Right? Very important for us to remember this, because this is the source for us to take a lot of comfort from. We'll take a break and then we'll come back for the final session of today, inshallah, and see the reason why we still need to work, and then we make dua, and then we'll go for Salatul Zuhr. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.